We're going to listen to you now. Can we pray for you?
Yes.
Come on. Hey, shall we stand up as we pray for Danielle? Here we go. Strek gerust je hand uit. Lord, thank you so much for Benji and thanks for Daniela that are here with us today. Lord, thank you for their testimony. Thank you for their willingness to lay down their lives before you and to serve the Asian bride of Christ. Lord, thank you, Lord, for the miracles. Thank you that your kingdom is breaking through. And it's our desire, Lord, it's our deepest desire that you do the same here in Europe, you do the same in the Netherlands, and you do the same in Mosaic. We want to be a barn prepared for what you have in this nation. Lord, so when Danielle shares her heart, give us an open heart just to receive from you. Be blessed, and we're looking forward. We're going to sit at the edge of our seats just to receive for what God gave you in Jesus' name. Amen?
Amen.
Amen. All right, guys, here we go.
I have to make also a correction to this video because this video was taken 3 years ago and we are now currently baptizing every 2 months, over 3,000 people in a nation that was called the graveyard for missionaries. And I want to prophesy over you that what God can do in Thailand, He will do in the Netherlands too. Come on, prepare the way, prepare the barns. This is your time. You don't need to wait for revival. Revival is here already among us. We have the Prince of Peace, the Lord of Lords, and He is the person who revives us from within, but not only for us, but that we can touch the nation of Netherlands. We have seen just in these few years' times, 8 years since this is going on, the prisons are being emptied, the hospitals are being emptied, the people are only working 80% their jobs so that 20% they can start serving the Lord. If the Lord can do this in Thailand, He is doing it here. We have a pre-harvest, and He is the Lord of the harvest. Also, I want to share this right from the start. When we had our 20th resurrection from the dead, he was a man from another faith. He was an imam. An imam is a spiritual leader, and he was dead for 2 days. And when they held his funeral, our church planter, our friend, he said, "Can I pray one last time for my friend?" And they allowed him to pray, and he commanded the spirit to come back from this man into his body, and he went up and he came at his own funeral. And you know what he said? The first thing he said, "We have been deceived." He actually shouted at the top of his voice, and he said, "We have been deceived. My grandparents have been deceived. My uncles, my relative, my father, my siblings, we have been deceived. Because when I died, I went through a tunnel. And on the other side of the tunnel stood Jesus Christ. He is not just a prophet. He is God. And He is above every other principality and of stronghold of darkness." And I want to release this testimony here this morning because God can use you to raise the dead, to cleanse the leper, to cast out demons. He will use you. You know, you young people, the first person in our ministry who raised the dead was a 17-year-old girl. And she had the faith to pray for a boy who had been struck by lightning, dead on the spot. his vital function, his heart had stopped for over 20 minutes by the time she arrived. And she declared life into this body, and he came back to life. If God can do it with a 17-year-old, come on, you young people. Who is 17 in this room? Yes, raise your hand. He will use you. He will use you. He will use this generation to raise the dead. And I really believe it with all my heart. I want to start because you guys, I already talked too long. I just see I only have 15 minutes. I'm gonna do this. Jesus, help me. My title is Only God Knows. While we were living in Asia, both my husband and I, we are scuba divers. And so while scuba diving, there is a rule that when you meet a shark, you cannot do floppy, quick movements, because then you attract the shark more and he will attack you. So what you do, you look at the shark in the eye, because he's a predator. And when you look at him in the eye, he usually moves away. So I was snorkeling, and a huge, bigger than my body size, a huge fish approached me. And I wasn't sure, is it a shark, is it a fish? So what did I do? Eye contact. That thing went away. Yes. Buddy came back with 5 more friends. And I thought, oh no. And so I can't look at all of them in the eye. So what did I do? I just ran for my life. I swam to the shore like a maniac. And then I Googled whether this is a shark or a fish. And what was it? It was this guy. You can go to the next slide. Okay, that's the proportion of a person and this fish. And it's a whale sucker or shark sucker. And what I learned that day, that fish thought I was a mini whale. And I needed some cleansing. And that's why they came to me and they tried to attach to my body. And that's what put fear into me. And what I learned is that only if we cannot know the motives of a fish who has a brain of a peanut, how much less do we know the motives of other human beings who are far more complex? And most of the time, only God knows the true motivation of a human heart. And that's what sets me up for this story. I'm just going through it quickly. I want to talk to you about the Samaritan woman, the woman at the well. This woman, she went to draw water at noon. And noon is not the time to draw water. Why? And it's interesting because the Bible specifically mentions at what time she went to draw water. And if you have lived overseas in hot climate country, you know that noon is not a working time. Why? Even in Italy, where I come from, my family comes from, noon is the time we make siesta. We don't work at lunchtime. Even our shops are closed. So she goes to draw water at noon, and then there is where Jesus meets her. And sometimes it's interesting when you have lived in developing nations and then you live in like modern nations. We have seen a lot of poverty. But you come back to Europe, and what you find is a different type of poverty. And that is what this lady is experiencing, because she is there all alone. And the poverty we have in the West is actually loneliness. People feel lonely. they feel not seen, not heard. And so does she, because she's an outcast from her village, from her people. And so Jesus strikes up a conversation and he asks her for water. And then we come to a second point where she's like, wait a minute. You are a Jew, we are Samaritans. And we come to that, what she experiences from the Jews, and that is racism. Just plain racism, just because they worship in a different way that the Jews do, the Jews look down on them. And it's so sad, you know? I'm so glad that we lived for over 13 years in Asia, and I myself have experienced racism and what it feels like. Otherwise, I would never know. And it's so easy, you know? Only God knows the motivation of the heart of other people. Only God knows. And yet, we so quickly judge someone. Oh, she just needs to learn German. She just needs to learn Dutch. Just do this, just do that. We just judge someone based on their skin color, their race, what they wear. And trust me, I tried to learn Thai. I actually cried after Thai class. You know why? They have 5 tones. I thought I'm tone deaf. I could not hear a single tone. Every time I tried again, I could not hear the tone. After 1 year of studying Thai and still not understanding a single word on the street, we found out that we were learning Bangkok Thai and everyone around us was speaking Northern Thai. Hallelujah, praise the Lord. Free lessons on humility every single day. So it's real. We experience this in the Word of God. We experience it today in real life. But I want to come to another point where you can go to my last Bible verse, where Jesus finally reveals himself to her as the Messiah. And then he says something interesting, go and call your husband. And then she says, oh, I have no husband. And then he says, yeah, what you said is correct. You've had 5 husbands, and the one you are with now, it's not your husband. So in plain daylight, he exposes her sin. And then we find that she quickly changes the subject to worship. And this is where every worship leader loves to. We have to worship in spirit and in truth and la la la. And we have these great worship sermons, right? Yes. But what is worship? Or is worship that every tribe, tongue, and nation will be gathered before the throne, every skin color, every race will be represented before his throne, every language, every people group? What is worship? And so Jesus then, she decides to go back to her village and tell her entire village about the encounter she had with Jesus. And so she becomes the first recorded evangelist in the Bible. Would you have chosen a lady who's had 5 husbands on your worship team, maybe? Only God knows, right? Only he knows the motivation of the people's hearts and why they have had so many failed marriages. Only he knows, and yet he picks her. Do you know her name? Does anyone, except for Keith and the staff here, do you know her name? Her name is Potini. That was her name. The woman at the well, her name is Potini. And let me tell you one thing. History records that she went on with her sisters and her son and started at Pentecost. She was filled with the Holy Spirit and she began a missionary journey where she went from village to village preaching the gospel. And every village she, her siblings and her son went, experienced revival in unprecedented ways. She was called an evangelist and she was called a super apostle. Then one day when she was in Carthago in Africa, Jesus appeared to her in a dream, telling her, Potini, I want you to preach the gospel in Rome. She set sail for Rome, and the half-mad emperor, Nero, who had already started persecuting Christians, sent his guards out to arrest her, and she already was before him and stood before the emperor. And the emperor said to her, are you ready to die for this Nazarene? And apparently she said, not only I am willing to die, but all these who have come with me. And the emperor was taken aback because even among his bravest men, he had not seen such bravery. So he took them, saints, and he had them, their hands beaten for 3 hours. Not a bone broke. He tried every single torture that you can imagine. 7 days in the furnace of fire and they didn't burn. Drinking poison and they didn't die. He tried to change his method. He put all the gold they could find in the palace in front of her and all the women and said, if you take this gold and deny the name of Jesus, then you're free to go. But they didn't. As a matter of fact, it's said that Nero's daughter, who presented them all the gold, was saved that day, including all her 100 slave girls. And then they took the gold and distributed it among all the poor in Rome. So 3 years, she turned her prison in a house of God, and most of Rome heard the gospel. After 3 years, Nero tried one more time, and in front of Potini, he killed her siblings and her son by beheading. And when she experienced that, she said to the Lord, Lord, that's too much for me. I cannot bear it to be with my family any longer. And so the Emperor Nero threw her into an empty well, and that's where she died. And she met her Lord and Savior at the well where she met him the first time face to face. So the worship team can come up now. The thing is, there are people in this room and you do disqualify yourself. Maybe you have excuses. Look at my past life. I have so many failures. What is your excuse? What is your excuse? If God can use her, if God can use me, small, tiny, immigrant person, he can use you just as powerfully. You know why? You have a calling and a destiny on your life that only you can fulfill. This lifespan here is so short. You know, your life compared to eternity, it's like a fart of a mosquito. It's like a fart of the mosquito because brr, you're here and bang, you're gone, and then you're forever and ever and ever and ever and ever. Your life is so short. So short. At the age of 20, I gave my life to the Lord. Why? Because a lady preacher preached, and she preached on the lukewarm heart. And you know what's dangerous about lukewarmness? When you're hot for the Lord, He will take all the angels of heaven and He will cheer you on and be for you in your pursuit to follow Him. When you're cold, all the angels of heaven will pursue you too so that you will get saved. But when you're lukewarm, you deceive yourself because you think you are in right standing with God. And meanwhile, God is about to spit you out of His mouth. That is the danger of lukewarmness. And so that day, I said to the Lord, Lord Jesus, I'm gonna give you the pen of my life. I had a little PS. I don't want a Christian boring life. If I'm gonna give you the pen of my life, I'm gonna trust you that you are gonna write my story. You know my past failures. You know where I came from. But today, I'm gonna give you the pen of my life, and I'm gonna give it to you radically. And I wanna experience every single thing that is written in this book. I wanna experience every single thing that you have promised in this book. I don't wanna live an average Christian life. I wanna live a supernatural life. And you know what? God took me by the word. I could tell you all day supernatural stories. How I went with my team into communist nation, and we were walking down the road, and as we are entering the building where we are having the training, my leader comes out and she says, Daniela, you want coffee? And I said, yes. She went across the road where the communist spy was having coffee and was spying our building. And she froze and she said hello to the spy. And in this nation, you know how it works. When the communist spy picks you up, you will be put into prison and you will be deported of that nation for the rest of your life. And yet she saw him and he is standing there saying, I'm so bored. I've been watching your building all day long. There's nothing going on. And she thinks in her head, wow, Daniela and the team, they just passed by him and he didn't see any of them. We were just invisible. And you know what? We had 80 trainees in the home and he didn't see any of us. Give God the pen of your life. Allow Him to write your story. And you're gonna experience that He will write with you adventures that you would have never dreamed of. And you look back one day and think, wow, God, I could not have written it better. You did such a great job. So it's time for a response. What is your excuse? What is your excuse? If God can use Potini, if God can use me, He can use anyone in this room to start the movement, starting with you young people. So stand up with me. And I want to give an altar call for those people in this room And especially also for those who want to serve God in missions. If you today find, even if that you're lukewarm, like I was a lukewarm at one time, whatever it is, I want to give you the possibility to come forward. Give God the pen of your life and say, Lord, I'm going to lay my life down and I'm going to serve you radically. Wherever you call me, I'm going to say yes and I'm going to go. Here am I, Lord. Send me. And if that is you this morning, then I ask you to come forward now.